getting a vote in Congress has been a long-standing obsession for many residents of the Federal District of Columbia. Cars registered in D.C. sport license plates that read, "No taxation without representation." The slogan in this case refers to the fact that D.C. residents pay income tax but don't have a voting representative in Congress. Well, last week, the Senate took a major step towards reversing the status quo. The House is expected to discuss the measure this week and to find out what D.C. voting rights means for district residents in the rest of the United States. We turn to Jonathan Turley, a constitutional law professor at George Washington University, who is against granting Washington residents a vote in Congress, and Walter Smith, the executive director of D.C. Appleseed, an organization advocating for D.C. voting rights. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Walter Smith, let me start with you. D.C. residents can vote in presidential elections. They have no senator. They do have a non-voting delegate in the House of Representatives. There have been numerous proposals for change, but the Constitution says voting representation goes to residents of states. D.C. is a federal territory. So how do you get around the Constitution on this issue?
Well, even though the Constitution says people of the several states, when the Constitution was written, everybody lived in a state.
Okay.
And so for that reason, both the courts and the Congress since then have often treated residents of the District of Columbia as if they were residents of states. And we think it's high time to do that here. You mentioned a minute ago that people in the district are concerned about taxation without representation. Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution says, "Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states." And yet the courts and the Congress believe that residents of the District of Columbia can and should be taxed. We think it's time to also let the right side of that phrase be put into place. We can vote and pay taxes both, even though we're residents of states.
Jonathan Turley, let's bring you into the conversation. You've testified before Congress on several occasions about what you consider the unconstitutionality of granting D.C. residents voting rights. Be specific, though. How does that really violate the letter or the spirit of the Constitution?
Well, first of all, I actually support giving voting rights to the district. I just don't believe that this is the proper means to do it. In fact, I've proposed a way to do that in a constitutional fashion. But in a country that's dedicated to the rule of law, it often is as important how we do something as what we do. And this bill is flagrantly unconstitutional. In my view, it's not a close question. Article 1, Section 2 has a thing in it called the Composition Clause. It's the very provision that defines the structure of the House of Representatives and the legislative branch. It's one of the most important provisions of the Constitution. And it says that only voting representatives of the several states may vote in Congress. The Supreme Court recently referred to that reference to several states and said it means actual states. But moreover, one of the people that was hired by Congress to make this argument, Professor Viadin at Georgetown, recently in our last hearing before the House of Representatives, finally conceded that, yes, he believes several states in the Composition Clause does mean actual states. What he hopes is that another clause called the District Clause could trump it. But that, I think, for many constitutional scholars, you know, borders on the absurd. It would be like a dinghy sinking a battleship. I mean, the District Clause is part of a provision that deals with forts and installations. It doesn't come close to the structural importance of the Composition Clause.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the battle over voting rights for residents of the District of Columbia. Our guest, Jonathan Turley, a constitutional law professor at George Washington University, and Walter Smith of the advocacy group D.C. Appleseed. Jonathan Turley, a lot of people contend the reason why D.C. residents haven't gotten a vote in Congress boils down to an issue of race and politics. And really, I'd like you both to address this. Most of the residents are Democrats. They are African Americans, more than half of the population here. Do you think race or politics is a factor in this debate? Walter, why don't I start with you first?
Well, I think it may have affected it over time. But I believe that most people now agree with Professor Turley. It is time to bring voting representation to citizens of the district. I think everyone believes that. The debate now is only over how to get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Professor?
Well, I think that's part of the tragedy here in that, you know, I've testified in, I think, four or five of these hearings, in fact, all the hearings on this bill. And when we first started talking about this years ago, I said that this was the wrong avenue, the wrong course. It was an example of political convenience overwhelming constitutional principle. That is, they simply bartered. They gave one vote to Utah and they gave a vote to the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. And that's where the politics comes in. What I think is the real tragedy here is that for the first time, the district actually has the votes to do this right and get full representation if they wanted it, because Republicans have said they would support a constitutional amendment or they would support one of the retrocession plans. Now, some of those retrocession plans, which is what the Virginia residents did, they went back to Virginia because they didn't like not having a vote. Some of those plans, like mine, would retain D.C.'s unique status but allow them to vote not just with one member of the House but for two senators as well.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you think that this is going to have to be resolved in the U.S. Supreme Court. Walter, what do you believe?
Well, it may be. I think people have been assuming for some time that once the bill passes, and it appears it's going to, that someone may bring a lawsuit. I actually hope someone doesn't bring a lawsuit. I believe that most people suppose that there are reasonable arguments in favor of this bill, and what this bill accomplishes is a just thing, and that we ought not to interfere with that. But if a lawsuit is brought, I think you're right. It's likely to be resolved in the United States Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. If D.C. residents, Jonathan Turley, are granted the power to vote, doesn't this open the door to other U.S. territories and provinces pushing for similar voting rights?
This is what's so dangerous about this legislation, is that for the first time in the history of this republic, Congress will claim the authority to create new forms of voting members. And people have got to understand how destabilizing that is. It's not just simply that Puerto Rico, which, by the way, has 4 million U.S. citizens in it that also serve in the military, would be entitled to six districts. And I think they have an equal claim. But the problem is that you could create all sorts of new members because this provision deals with territories, installations, military reservations. And I believe people have to really focus on the mischief and the dangers that is created by this type of approach.
Well, I'm going to have to stop the conversation there. I know, Walter, you probably want to jump in, but we're going to have to close for now. Jonathan Turley is a constitutional law professor at George Washington University. Walter Smith, the executive director of D.C. Appleseed, an advocacy group seeking to establish voting rights for the District of Columbia. Both were kind enough to join us here in the studios. Thank you both.
Thank you.